Thank you, worship team, for your service this morning. We appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for coming this morning. It's good to see everyone today. We appreciate you being in the service. And thank you for a great worship set, Serena. Turn with me this morning, please, in your Bibles to two places. Matthew chapter 12, and then Isaiah chapter 42. We'll start in the Matthew passage and then move to Isaiah 42. I almost called a work day yesterday to start building an ark. Just this close. Well, we need the rain. I can't complain. I guess we need the rain. No, we need the rain. I am complaining. I apologize. But when I headed out this morning, though, the sun was shining, it was nice, beautiful, and when I finished at Grace Family, headed this way, it just started pouring again. So I think there's a cloud that follows me just all around. Matthew chapter 12. This morning I want to talk about those gentle hands. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. A little backdrop while you're finding that, and then Isaiah 42. Jesus has just healed a man with a withered hand. He goes into the synagogue. There's a man there. And he asks those skeptics if it is lawful for him to heal on the Sabbath day. And he concludes it is, and he tells the man to reach out his hand, and the withered hand is healed. And his skeptics are standing there, and they know that it's legal, if you have a lamb that, or a sheep that drops into a ditch, to pull the sheep out of the ditch. But they're saying it's not lawful to heal a man with a withered hand. And Jesus wants to point out the fact that a human being is more valuable than a sheep. Amen? And so Jesus heals the man, and verse 14 says the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might destroy him. It's interesting to me that these Pharisees thought it was so disgraceful to heal a man on the Sabbath day, and yet they're plotting to kill Jesus. How is that? That is the height of hypocrisy. So in response to what's just happened, we start in verse 15. When Jesus knew it, when he knew that they were getting ready to destroy him if they could, he withdrew from there. He would not argue with them. That'll be part of the prophecy that he fulfills. He withdraws himself, multitudes follow him, and he healed them all. Praise the Lord. How many believe Jesus is still a healer today? Amen. Both of our bodies and our minds, our emotions, all of those things. And then in verse 16, yet he warned them not to make him known. It's not time yet to announce who I am on the streets. Again, part of a fulfillment of a prophecy that Matthew will give us. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. And then in verses 18 through 21, we have the fulfillment of Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. And Matthew concludes that Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy hundreds of years before in what Jesus has just done. And let me read that prophecy. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out. He's not going to argue with those Pharisees right now. He's just not going to deal with them. He withdrew himself. Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He's not going to allow them to make a big deal over what Jesus is doing. And then he says these interesting words that we'll spend more time on in a moment. Verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, which probably references the cross and the crucifixion. And in his name, Gentiles will trust, that probably references the resurrection. So Matthew concludes that what he has just seen Jesus do is a fulfillment of the Isaiah 42 prophecy. So let's go back to Isaiah 42, if you would please, in your Bibles. Isaiah 42, the first four verses. And we'll read what Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before Matthew says this has been fulfilled through Jesus. Chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. It's the first of four sections that the Bible calls servant sections, describing the servant Jesus. My elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. And then these intriguing words again. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. And so Jesus comes and he heals this man with a withered hand, and he's criticized for it. As a matter of fact, when it came to the Pharisees, anything Jesus did would be criticized. It was a no-win for Jesus, but he didn't make a big deal out of it. But what he did is he went on to continue doing what verse 3 of Isaiah 42 says. He went on to showing his care for the bruised reeds and the smoking flax that I'll explain in a few moments. He cares about people. He cares about hurts. And with these gentle hands, he will help heal the reeds and reignite the flame of the flax that's just about ready to go out. Bruises. We all have them, or we have had them. Physically, I'm not talking about physical bruises. I've had my share of those. My two younger brothers supplied plenty of those for me. When I would come in as a boy and my mom would say, "Where'd you get that bruise?" I'd just pick out a name, Dan or Ron, either one. And when she would inquire about them, they would deny it like they always did. I'm sure a few of those bruises weren't caused by either one of them, but I was the older brother and my word was law, all right? We put up with some bruises. Maybe you've got some bruises on your body right now. The older you get, sometimes the more they stick around, harder to get rid of. But it's not talking about the physically bruised. It's talking about the emotional, the internal. It's talking about the mental. It's talking about the things that are inflicted upon us that leave bruises. The old saying used to be, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will what? Boy, that was a lie. As a matter of fact, this passage of bruised reeds in some translations talks about the fact that it may be talking about words that are spoken to hurt you. Words that are spoken to bruise you. Words that are spoken to go deep inside of your psyche so that you can never get rid of them. The bruised reed. What were this reed? Remember the reeds that Jesus, the bulrushes that Jesus, or that Moses as a baby was put out. They were these thin things growing by water's edge. Probably the closest thing we have here is maybe a cattail or something like that. And when they get real brittle, they break real easy. And a bruised reed was one that was broken over. It wasn't completely detached yet, but it was bent over. But just the slight touch and it would break. And the Bible describes the bruised reed as something that the gentle hands of Jesus would never break, but rather he would bring healing to it. And so this morning we're talking about bruised people. We're talking about people with bruises that are inside because of things said to you, things done to you, situations that have come up that were out of your control and they have left a bruise, and maybe even now you are like the bruised reed. Not everyone here, but maybe someone here feels like you're just about ready to break completely off. But Jesus has come not to break the bruised reed, but to bring healing to it. Amen? As he healed the man with a withered hand, so he wants to heal those who are bruised. This bruising, The fact of the matter is that right now where we are as a church, as a nation, as a city, as a community, right now as we are as a world, there's a lot of bruised things that we're dealing with. COVID-19 has bruised a lot of things. In March, we had no idea what it was. We just knew it was maybe bad. We had no idea that come November we would still be dealing with it, and even today new announcements has come out of limitations in our state. We had no idea of the ramifications of this thing. But what it has done, it has bruised families. It's bruised families. Families that are not able to see each other or fellowship together. Or as they're purporting to us, not even being able to be together at Thanksgiving time. It's bruised economies. They're in shambles. It has taken people just like yourself, and it has bruised you. This wicked disease has bruised churches. I was on a call the other day, and they were talking about the number of churches that have completely closed down now because of COVID. There's just probably no way they're going to revive. They are gone. It has bruised pastors. Pastors are discouraged. On another call I was on, the number of pastors that have just pretty well ready to throw in the towel because they've been bruised, because there's no win for pastors. If we require a mask, we're criticized. If we don't, we're criticized. If we open the church, we're criticized. If we don't open, we're criticized. If we're online, we're criticized. If we're not online, it is no win. And they've bruised the number of pastors now who are getting ready to throw in the towel. I don't want to do this anymore. It's astounding. Congregations have been bruised. You yourself have been bruised. You aren't able to see all of your brothers and sisters, and we understand that. We understand it's not possible for many to come to church right now, but it causes a bruising in congregations. Schools are bruised. Kids who need to be in school aren't in school. There's bruising going on there. Businesses that have closed down in our area that'll never come back again. Holidays have been bruised. Friends have been bruised. If anything this virus has done, it has, though it is serious and it has taken many lives, and for those we're sorry, it has bruised who we are. It has bruised. How do we deal with that? We need to take it to the one who would not break the reed, but to heal the reed. Amen? We take it to Jesus. And that's really what we have to do. We have to take our bruises to Jesus. Aside from the COVID bruising, maybe there's other things that have bruised you this morning. Maybe it's a relationship that is strained. Maybe it's something that would have happened irregardless of COVID. Maybe it's something that's gone on in your family, something that has gone on in your Christian walk, and there's a bruise there. And you feel exactly like a reed that's been broken, not quite detached yet, but broken. The good news is that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen? The good news is that Jesus is still healing. And my prediction is that those churches that are closed, I'm praying they will come back with a flurry. They're coming back with a flurry. And pastors that are discouraged will come back with a flurry. And that we'll see a revival happen in our nation, in our community, in our region, and in our world. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. Hallelujah. And there'll be a return. And he'll heal the bruised. He'll heal the bruised. What of the smoking flax? Another translation calls it a smoldering wick. Flax was this beautiful plant. And it had this beautiful blue flower on it. But when it dried, it had stalks that they would strip away the fibers, and they would weave it into cloth. They'd weave it into cloth, or they would weave it into rope. And then the very fine fibers of the flax plant, they would take and they would actually weave it into what we know as a wick. And they would take that wick and put it in a vessel with oil, and they would light it, and it would burn. And it would bring light into a darkened room. But when it talks about the smoking flax or the smoldering wick, it's talking about a wick that's just about out. There's no flame there anymore. It's just smoking. And of that, the Bible predicts that Jesus will not quench that. But rather, he will blow on that and bring the flame back. And I believe that's what God needs to do for us, is not quench the flame, but blow on the flame by his Holy Spirit. Amen. And bring hope back. See, because right now, hope is gone cold in many quarters. Faith has been weakened and love has been damaged because of what we've been through. But the Spirit of God is here not to quench the smoldering flax, but rather, I believe, to blow on it gently at first and reignite that fire and let it burn once again so we can light the darkness all around us. And that's what we need, is for God's people to be burning brightly in a dark world so they can see that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. The smoking flax would represent folks that are just about ready to give up hope, just about ready to throw in the towel. It represents churches or pastors or communities who are wondering, are we done for? Are we done for? And the devil would like nothing more than for especially believers to just give it all up. Give it all up. Why follow Jesus? Why try anymore? But I'm telling you, the reason why we're going to keep trying is because Jesus is going to win this thing. Hallelujah. This war is going to be won by Jesus. So this smoking flax cannot ignite because it can hardly remain aglow. But Jesus comes to blow on that and to blow and to ignite it and to let it go again. I impressed one of my grandchildren. I can't remember who it was now. It might have been Tyler. Might have been Ryan. When they were little, we had a little fire out in a little thing out in our backyard, and it had kind of gone down. And so I grabbed a few little pieces of kindling, and I just blew on it. Poof. Whoa! Whoa! Grandpa's a dragon. All it took, there was flame there, but it just needed some breath to blow on. That's what we need today, amen? We need the breath of God to blow on us and to reignite that flame again. Lord, come. Come, Jesus, and blow on us. How will Jesus do that? He does that with these gentle hands, these gentle hands that he has. If you look at the Isaiah 42 passage, I think it's an incredible comparison. Verse 2 and 3, or verse 3 talks about the bruised reed, how delicate that is, and he will not break it. The smoking flax, he will not quench it because of his gentle hands and how he gently comes to minister to lives and hearts and people. And yet in verse 5 it says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it. The same hands who gently helps heal the broken reed and the smoking flax are the same hands that created the universe and flung them into space and all that we have. Those same hands that are gentle are also powerful. And I put forth this morning that the same hands that can bring healing to all of our hearts and our lives and our hurts and our pains and our bruises are the same hands that can take the enemy and throw him into the bottomless pit that burns forever and ever. Come on. The powerful hands. The powerful hands of God. It's amazing to watch those hands in action. Those same hands that was so frustrated with the money changers in the temple, that he took that cord and he began to whip those tables and turn those tables over, those powerful hands. Nobody dared stop him because he was just really coming against the wickedness of what they were doing. And yet those same hands in John chapter 4 will reach down and touch that woman in John, or the woman of Samaria, and will sit with her and very gently lead her through a conversation until he will lead her to himself as Savior, as Lord. Those powerful hands and the gentle hands. That's what his hands can do. Those gentle hands are also powerful. I think we need gentle hands to help heal our bruises. I think we need gentle hands to help blow on the wick. But I believe we need powerful hands to come against the evil that's in our day and the virus and everything about it and all of the discord. We need powerful hands to destroy it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you have access to both, those gentle hands and those powerful hands. Those gentle hands. And so, Lord, help us. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul brings out an interesting comparison. In verse 2, he says that we all ought to bear one another's burdens. See, part of how we get through this is we have to get through this with community. Yes. To bear one another's burdens. We need to help each other. That's why meeting in this building is so important. And we appreciate being able to be online. And many of our precious church folks aren't able to be here, and they're online probably watching. And we're grateful for that. Some are in the parking lot listening right now to me. But we're in this thing together. And we're not the enemy. We're not the enemy. Did you hear me say that? We need to encourage one another. That's why it's so important that when we can, we need to smile. Now, we may need to do it 6 feet away with a mask on, but I'll tell you, this thing right here does not stop the love of God that I have for you. Amen? Hopefully it helps what it's designed to do. But it doesn't stop the love of God that I have for you, nor the prayers that I need to pray for you. That's why it is so important to fulfill Galatians 6 and 2, to bear one another's burdens. We need to be willing to pray for each other and to help one another, to encourage one another. When the Lord lays someone on your heart, pray for them. When the Lord lays someone on your heart and you hear a name, you're just minding your own business. You're all masked up, going into Walmart. Did I say Walmart? I'm not supposed to advertise things, am I? Okay, so I'll correct that. So you go into Albertson. Well, I did it again. You're in a store somewhere, and all of a sudden you're just minding your own business. And all of a sudden the Lord brings someone to your mind. I said, where did that come from? Where did that come from? I just had this name come into my mind. Richard. Thanks, Richard. You interrupted my shopping. But you feel impressed. I need to pray for Richard. Just stop where you're doing. Now, if you're in line checking out, you might want to wait till you check out, okay? But if you're in an aisle, just stop for a moment right there by the flower or the cookies. That's usually the aisle I'm in. And pray for Richard, right then. Right then, pray for Richard. Lord, I don't know what Richard's going through. I don't know what's happening, but Lord, just help Richard. Help Richard. And then the Lord speaks and says, you're praying for the wrong Richard. No, I'm kidding. Pray for him right then, right then. Just do that. You'll never know. Only eternity will tell how that helped Richard at that very moment. At that very moment. You won't believe the number of calls that I've gotten through the many years of ministry that Cheryl and I have called. Somebody said to me, you know, about 6 months ago, the Lord laid you on my heart so strong, and I begin to pray with you. And boy, I thought, 6 months ago, I can't even remember what I had for breakfast. Wait a minute. And so I begin to look back and check my notes and my calendar. And I went, that's the reason. I was going through something right then. That was the reason. And God, you laid me on someone's heart. That's the way we bear one another's burdens. Come on. And it can even happen with strangers. Okay, let's get you to Walmart now. Okay, now you're back to Walmart. And all of a sudden, a stranger passes you. You don't know him from Adam. And you quickly make that distance. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, that person needs prayer. You don't know them. You don't know their name. Begin to pray for them. Amen. Begin to pray for them. Lord, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what's happening. But Lord, I pray you would help them right now in Jesus' name. That anonymous, nameless person that just passed me, I pray in Jesus' name, please help them. Do that. And I want to tell you, when you get to heaven, I think God may show you what you helped them get through. How many believe that's something we can all do? Amen? Amen. Bear one another's burdens. But then, the irony of it is in verse 5, it says, every man must bear his own burden. See, there's sometimes we have to bear our burden alone. I hope other people are praying for me. How many know it's okay to pray for yourself? That was pretty weak. How many know it's okay to pray for yourself? It is. It's okay. I do that all the time. I do that all the time. I pray, Jesus, please help me to be a better husband. Because I don't want to have to sleep out on that Ford tractor you bought me. Help me to be a better husband. How many believe that's a good prayer for we husbands, right? Help me to be a better dad. Help me be a better granddad. Help me to be a better pastor. And everyone said, amen. Help me to be a better Christian. It's all right to pray for yourself. And Lord, while you're helping me be a better Christian, please help me win the lottery. No, I'm kidding. You got to play to win, I guess. It's okay to pray for yourself. Help me to bear this burden, Lord. Help me to bear this burden. Because I've got to bear it alone. And believe me, there's sometimes that you have a burden you're having to carry. It's called a cross. And we're all called to carry one. And we can bear one another's burdens, and so we should. But sometimes you have to bear your own. And so, Lord, please help me walk through this time. Walk through this time. I ask you to lay me on someone's heart. But right now, I've got to bear this burden. And I will. But at the end of the day, the Lord will be there with those gentle hands. And he will come to those bruised reeds and he will heal them. And he'll come to that smoking flax and he'll breathe new life into it. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what burdens or bruises that you're going through. But someone must be going through something, or else this wouldn't be the message that I had to deliver today. And so, let's reach out to the gentle hands. Father, in Jesus' name right now, maybe there's someone here in this audience, maybe there's someone online watching right now. We may never know. But I pray for the bruised. I pray for the bruised. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to that reed and not break it. But you would bring healing to it in Jesus' name. I don't know what caused it. Was it an unkind word? Was it a relationship failure? Was it a collapse of integrity? I don't know. But Lord, whatever it was, whatever the bruise, the reed is about to break. And if you don't intercede, it'll be broken. But Lord, you didn't come to break the bruised. You came to heal the bruised. So put on the salve. Put on the bandage in Jesus' name right now for whoever this is for. Lord, for that one who's about ready to throw in the towel, their wick has gone out and it's just smoldering. You didn't come to quench it. You came to breathe new life into it. Fan the flame once again, Jesus. Fan the flame once again. In Jesus' name right now, Lord, you see the needs of the people. You see who they're praying for right now. You see us, Lord. And bring those gentle hands and embrace us and love us and help us. Help us, Lord. We're going to make it. Because Jesus is our strength. He's our victor. He's on our side. I thank you for it today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me right now? And if you're physically able, would you lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I receive right now the healing for my bruises right now. Whether it applies to you or not, just let's join in unity right now, Father. In Jesus' name, I receive, Lord, your healing for my bruises. I receive, Lord, right now, Lord, I'm a reed that is broken. I'm a flax that is smoldering, Lord. Breathe on me, O God. Breathe on me, O God. Breathe on me, O God. In Jesus' name, bring healing to the bruises, healing to the bruises, healing to the bruises, Lord. New life, Lord, to my wick. New life, Lord Jesus, to my life, O God. In Jesus' name, help me, Lord. Not only me, but others today, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I receive that healing. I receive it in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it today. I thank you for it today, and I thank you for your word, God, that is true, and it applies to my life this very day, and I thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said amen, amen. And let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 All right. God bless you. Mask up. Let's make our way out. Bless someone on the way. God bless you. I love and appreciate all of you this morning.